So this is our last night of the series of the gifts of the Spirit, and I enjoyed this sermon. I enjoyed leading up to the gifts, talking about Pentecost and talking about the power of the Holy Spirit. But it's our heart that everyone in this church find their place, find their gifts, and begin moving and operating in our gifts. We love for people to come in. We love for you to start attending, and we love for you to observe. But the hearts of our pastors or this church are that you don't just sit there and observe, but that you get involved and you play your part. God places people in the body. God fits people together in the body, and He fits you here. Those of you that God's brought in here to be a part of this body, He's brought you here for a reason. And He's brought you here not just to sit and enjoy, but He's brought you here to plug you in and to get you involved. And He wants you to be used in the gifts that He's put inside of you. He wants you to be used in the church functioning. He wants you to be used in helping build the church and causing the church and making us into a church that is a moving, living, spiritual being that's taking territory for the kingdom of God. Do you want to be a part of that church? And so that's what this whole series was about, talking about the gifts, helping you identify your gifts. And, you know, we did the giftings test and everything, and some of you scored really super high, you know. You're just super gifted, and you probably should be up here now instead of me. But anyway, but we took those tests just to help you see where you scored highest in, to identify those things where God may be leading you or directing you. Maybe areas that He wants to use you in. And we've gone through the different kinds of gifts kind of in a nutshell. We did the power gifts, the gifts of faith, healing and miracles. And then we did the revelation gifts last time, the gifts, the word of wisdom, the gift of the word of knowledge. We kind of touched on the discerning of the spirits. I think we touched on that a little bit. I didn't get too much into that because that's not my gift. And so I just mentioned it anyway. And then tonight we're talking about the gifts of inspiration, the nine gifts of the Holy Spirit listed in the Bible. Are broken into three, the gifts of revelation, the gifts of power, and the gifts of inspiration. And so tonight we're on the last one. Everybody say, thank God. We're wrapping this up. I was told earlier that you're not supposed to spend anything longer than 3 weeks. Part of that wasn't my fault. Anyway, we're facing up. We did do 3 weeks on the major gifts thing, so we're good. We're still good. So the gifts of inspiration. Talking about the gifts tonight, inspiration, the gift of prophecy, the gift of tongues, and the gift of interpretation of tongues. Now, don't freak out when we start talking about the gift of tongues. Hey, we're a spirit-filled church, right? But a lot of people, when you start talking about gift of tongues and giving a message in tongues, people kind of, it's not weird. It's just another way of God trying to speak to us. But I never forget when I was a kid, my grandmother used to come visit from time to time. And back in the church over across the river, you know, man, I'll tell you, we were a lot more charismatic back then. How many of you guys, Sister Gracie? You remember? You had a lot more dancing in the altars and that kind of thing, and a lot more often the word was given in tongues and interpretation. But my grandmother, she would come visit from time to time and stay over the weekend with us. She was in a denomination where they don't speak in tongues, okay? And they don't believe in speaking in tongues. And so I'll never forget, though, she would come and she's like, well, I'm going to go to church with y'all on Sunday morning. And it never failed. Every time my grandmother, who does not believe in speaking in tongues and thought it's just way out there, every time she was there, somebody give up and give a message in tongues, you know? And I'm sitting there saying, Lord, why today? Why today? You're going to freak my grandmother out. But anyway, she got to see something she don't see it. She didn't see it in her church. So there's a couple times she left when after that happened. But praise God. But the gift of tongues and the interpretation of tongues and the gift of prophecy are all gifts of inspiration. Ways that God wants to speak to His church. God wants to speak to His body. It's God speaking to His body through His body. It's the revelation of God out of the mouth of man to man. And God allows us to hear His voice. God allows us to supernaturally receive a word from Him to build the church, to edify the church, to cause the church to grow. It's divine communication from heaven to us for the purpose of edifying, building up, strengthening, and encouraging the church. Does anybody in here need any of those things? Anybody need strengthening here tonight? Anybody need encouragement here tonight? Anybody need edification here tonight? Well, these gifts of the Spirit are given to the church to build the church. Everybody say, build the church. Say it with passion now. Say, build the church. Y'all did okay. You didn't do the grasping the air, but we'll give you E for effort. So anyway, these gifts that we're going to talk about tonight, we're going to start off a little teaching part, which y'all know is not my favorite, but we're going to teach a little bit of teaching and a little bit of preaching mixed in. So the gift of tongues, the gift of tongues is a supernatural utterance in an unknown language. It's a gift of supernatural utterance in an unknown language. How many of you are thankful for the Holy Spirit and the gift of tongues? And the Bible says that in Acts, we talked about Pentecost and how the Holy Spirit fills us. He gives us evidence with speaking in tongues. And so tonight we're going to talk about the gift of tongues. And it's different than, it's the same Holy Spirit, the same operation, but it's a different, the gift of tongues for the body is different than the gift of the tongues for your personal private prayer language. Same Spirit, same working, but different motivation, different goals and the way the gift is used. And just to lay it out there, just to compare the two, the gift of tongues for the body versus the private tongues that God gives you for your prayer language and for worship and praise and those kind of things. The gift of tongues, is a word that God speaks to the church. The other tongues, your prayer language tongues, is a word as God speaks, is where we speak to God. Okay, tongues, a gift of tongues is a message for the church. Speaking in tongues, we're praying to God. We're praying mysteries to God. The gift of tongues edifies the church. The Bible says that speaking in tongues edifies yourself. It edifies the one speaking in tongues. We'll get to those scriptures in a little bit. The gift of tongues builds up the church. The other one builds up the speaker. The gift of tongues is always intended to be interpreted. Always intended to be interpreted. The other tongues, we're praying mysteries of God. We're praying the perfect will of God. And you may not ever know what you're praying. You may not ever know what you're feeling. A lot of times you know you're done when a burden lifts or when you feel breakthrough. But it's mysteries. It's the perfect will of God that you're praying. And you may not ever have an interpretation or know what it means. But a gift of tongues is always meant to be interpreted. In a church setting, a gift of tongues given. Gift of tongues is tongues spoken out loud to a group of people, to the church, to the body. The other tongues, prayer language tongues, is you can speak it out loud or quiet, privately or publicly. It doesn't matter. But the gift of tongues is for the body, for building up the body. The interpretation of tongues, the gift of the interpretation of tongues, I'm just going to skip through these real quick, and then we'll get to prophecy. Because the gift of interpretation of tongues is basically identical to the gift of prophecy. And so, you ask, why then have the interpretation of tongues? Why don't we just go straight to prophecy? But the Bible does say that there are things, there are benefits, there are things that a message in tongues will do. And one of the things that it says it'll do, it says the gift of the tongues, a message of tongues, in 1 Corinthians 14:22, it says it's a sign to the unbelievers. It's not for the believer, it's a sign to unbelievers, the Bible says. Those that will believe and that will accept it, a message given in tongues and interpretation is a sign to the unbeliever, the Bible says. It also says that tongues, a gift of tongues, a message in tongues, it kind of puts us on ready, waiting to hear what the Holy Spirit is saying. When a message in tongues is given, it's quiet, usually quiet afterwards. Partly because some people are like, what just happened? You know, people that are new to this thing, they're like, what? What was that? What language is that? But it gives us a readiness, anticipation. Those that understand the gift are ready and waiting, knowing that the Holy Spirit is about to speak a word. And so those two things. And then also a message in tongues, it may be in a language that's understood by someone present. When the day of Pentecost, when they spoke in tongues, you know, to the men speaking the tongues, it was an unknown language to them. It was just by the Holy Spirit they were speaking tongues. But it says people that came and started hearing, they started coming, they were hearing the word of God in their own language. And you hear testimonies about missionaries that go and just pray in tongues, and it turns out to be a message in the native language of the people they're ministering to. And so those are some reasons why the church needs, still needs the gift of tongues and interpretation of tongues working in the church. But there should always be an interpretation along with a gift of tongues, a message in tongues. And so then the other gift that we're going to talk about tonight and mainly focus on is the gift of prophecy. In 1 Corinthians 12:10, it's going through the gifts of the Spirit, and it mentions in there prophecy that one to one another is given the gift of prophecy. Now, don't associate prophecy with the office of a prophet. You don't have to be a prophet to operate in the gift of prophecy. You understand that? The office of a prophet carries a lot more weight and goes in more than just the gift of prophecy. Usually involved in the gift of an office of a prophet is prophecy, words of wisdom, words of knowledge. A lot of those work hand in hand through a prophet, foretelling the future, those kind of things. In the Old Testament, all the prophets foretold the future. But in the New Testament, the main use of prophecy, just the gift of prophecy in general, the main use of that in the New Testament church is to edify, to exhort, and to comfort. To edify, exhort, and comfort. In 1 Corinthians 14:5, Paul says this. He said, I wish you all spoke with tongues. How many of y'all say, tongues are still for today? They have not passed away. The gift of tongues is very important. It's vital to the heart, to a believer. It's vital that we have a prayer language and that we speak in tongues and that we have that as part of our life. Paul said, I speak in tongues more than all of you. He said, I spoke with tongues even more than you. I wish that you all spoke with tongues, but even more that you prophesied. For he who prophesies is greater than he who speaks with tongues, unless indeed he interprets that the church may be edified or may receive edification. The gifts of the Spirit are all about building the church and edifying the church. Prophecy, the word prophecy occurs 22 times just between 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and chapter 14. 22 times in those four chapters. Is that right? 11, 12, 13, 4. Yeah, four chapters. Four chapters, 22 times. Now, I don't know about you. But now, when I want to get something across to my kids, I sometimes tell them more than once. How about you? How many of you parents, come on, how many of you parents feel like you're a broken record sometimes over and over and over and over again to your kids? But if it's something that you think is important, and it's something you think is important and they need to know, man, we drill it into them, right? Well, I think if God mentions prophecy 22 times in a span of four chapters, how many of y'all think that's important? The church needs the Word of God. The church needs to hear the mind and the heart of God. Prophecy is very important to a church that's going to thrive and a church that's going to grow and a church that's going to be alive and on the move. We have to know and be able to hear God's Word. Amen? Not just the written word. The written word is alive and it's full of life. But the spoken word, God not only wants us to dwell and meditate on His written word, but He wants to speak to our hearts. God wants us to hear His voice. God wants to bring encouragement and strength to us and to us individually and as a church. We need that. Prophecy is important. 1 Corinthians 14:3 says, but he who prophesies speaks edification, exhortation, and comfort to men. Amen? Prophecy, you know, now, the gift of tongues was a supernatural utterance in an unknown language. Prophecy is a supernatural utterance, an inspired utterance in a known language. That's what it is. It's simple. Man, it's not rocket science. It's not some deep, weird thing. It's simply God speaking to us in a language that we understand and know. Prophecy. Gordon Lindsay, he was the founder of CFNI. He took it all in a nutshell. He was talking about this scripture, the purpose of the New Testament, gift of prophecy, edify, exhort, and comfort. And he put it in a nutshell. He said, prophecy is to make people better and more useful Christians. How many of y'all want to be better? How many of y'all want to be more useful Christians? Amen? We do. But that's what prophecy is all about. It's all about building us up, unifying us, strengthening us, encouraging us to do God's plan and God's will on this earth. Amen? All right. So 1 Corinthians 14:14 says, he that speaks in tongues edifies himself, but he that prophesies edifies the church. And so edification here, edify, if you look at edify in the Greek, let's just look at this word a little bit. Edify is a word, it's a Greek word called akadameo. And I said that right because I spelled it out. Akadameo. Anyway, akadameo. It means to build up, to erect, to strengthen. A word from God, a word from God, a prophetic word. And this is how you know prophecy. It will always do one of these things. Edify, exhort, or comfort. In just the basic general sense of prophecy. But to edify, to build up, to erect, and to strengthen. And when you hear a word of prophecy, when God gives a word of prophecy, it does something. A word of prophecy is not just something to jot down and put on a shelf. When we receive a word of prophecy, God means it to spur something in our heart, to build us up, to erect something, to strengthen something. How many of you have ever received a word of prophecy? When it comes, man, I'm telling you, a lot of you are called to ministry. A lot of you, God's put things on your heart. A lot of you are going through things at work or at home. And sometimes a word of God is the very thing you need to build you up, to give you strength, to inspire you and to step out in faith. A word of prophecy comes to edify, to build up, to erect, to make strong. It also comes to exhort. The word exhort there is the Greek word paraklesis. Is that something? I don't know. Something, I hope there's no Hebrew scholars in the room. But it's paraklesis. Paraklesis. It's a calling near. Exhortation. When the Holy Spirit speaks through a word of prophecy, he comes to exhort. It's a calling near. Calling near. Calling us back to a closeness with God. Calling us back to a place of spiritual fervency. Calling us back to the basic reason that we're here. And that is to be in close fellowship with God. That was to be in close fellowship with God. To know Him and to be intimate with Him. Everybody say calling back. Calling back. You know, sometimes even in church work, we get so busy doing things and doing this or doing that. We get so busy doing things for the Lord. Sometimes we find ourselves drifting away from that personal relationship with the Lord. But a prophetic word will serve the purpose of calling us back near to a near place, to a close place, to an intimate place with the Lord. Exhortation. And then it's for comfort. Now, the word comfort, the Greek word there is paramethia. It means to stimulate or to persuade and to console. But there's also built into that meaning, it's made up of two parts of a Latin word. One means alongside, and another one means volume or power. Now, that word is forte, and I think that's a musical term, isn't it? Volume or power, forte. But it means to come alongside with power, to come alongside with volume and with power. And so through the comfort word, it provides for healing from distress or healing from hurts or persecution or suffering, but it comes with a sense of power where the word there to comfort is basically to give us the power to return to our task, the strength and the power to overcome hurt and to overcome persecution, to overcome weariness. The Holy Spirit comes to comfort. The Bible says the Holy Spirit is our comforter. And so a word of prophecy is to exhort, it's to edify, and it's to comfort. That word from the Lord lets us know that He is near, that He comes alongside of us, and it gives us strength to overcome. It gives us strength to heal. It gives us strength to carry on when through tough times. Amen? The word of comfort. And so prophecy. And there's lots of other little notes about this, things that we've gone over. You know, I didn't mention tonight, but I don't want to harp on it every time. But the gifts are given by the power of the Holy Spirit. And so we have to know, we have to remember, I'm not going to carry this point out very long, but we have to know that it's not in our own strength that we speak a word of prophecy. It's not in our own strength that we deliver tongues or an interpretation of tongues. It's by the Holy Spirit. We are completely reliant and dependent on the power, the wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy Spirit to speak that word. And it's important we know that. Because a lot of times I know the enemy comes to fight us saying, you're not qualified. You don't have a depth of knowledge that you need. You're not a pastor or you're not a leader or you don't have a Bible degree. But the good thing about the gifts of the Spirit is that all the knowledge, all the wisdom, all the strength, comes from the Holy Spirit. It's not dependent on us. And if God chooses you, if God is giving you a gift to operate in, you don't have to worry about your qualifications. You don't have to worry about your ability. You just step out in faith and you operate in that gift dependent completely on the Holy Spirit. That's why God can use a donkey to speak through. That's why God says it doesn't matter if it's a learned person or a child in the faith. When God brings the word of prophecy, anybody can speak it because it's His revelation, not ours. And so don't let the enemy fight you with fear that you can't walk in the gifts of the Spirit. Because if you're here, if you're available, if you're surrendered to Jesus Christ, and if you are filled with His Holy Spirit, then you're a candidate to walk in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. It sounds supernatural because it is supernatural, but it's not something that can't be attained. If you're young, you youth that are in here, never be afraid to step out in the operation of the gifts of the Spirit. If God is wanting to speak through you, never be afraid to step out in faith and speak. Amen? It's not of us, it's of Him. All He's looking for is an open vessel who surrendered to Him. Praise God. So the inspiration gifts are given so that God can speak to His church, to edify, to exhort, to comfort. And so I wanted to talk about, I really was praying about this morning, and I knew the teaching, you know, there was only so much in there that I was going to teach on, but I was just praying, I was like, God, what do you really want us to know through this? God, how do we apply this gift, these teachings of the gifts of the Holy Spirit? How do we apply them to our life and make them real and make them something that we can understand and something that you can, what, God, what do you want to say that will give substance tonight? And I felt like I was sitting there and I was praying about this morning. I had these other notes down and I thought, you know what, God, what do you really want to say about this? And God put a scripture in my heart, Joshua 3:7. And so, like always, man, I'm horrible at memorizing scripture. So I had no idea what Joshua 3:7 said. So I'm like, okay, here it goes, the big flip. You know, let's see, Joshua stops at verse 6, right? No. So anyway, so I turn to Joshua 3:7. And this is what it said. And it's directly, when I turned there, I read it, I said, thank you, God. It actually goes in line with the other rest of the message tonight. But anyway, but the very first thing it says, and the Lord said to Joshua. The Lord said to Joshua. And right there, I stopped right there. And the Lord just said to me, he said, I want them to know that I want to speak to them. I don't want my people going through life not knowing how to hear my voice. I don't want people going through any situation not knowing that all they have to do is tune into me and I've got a word for them. I want my people to know that when I come to speak, and I'm always speaking, that I come to bring encouragement and strength. I come to empower them to overcome. God wants us to be a people that know how to hear His voice and to know the power behind that voice. When God speaks something to you, there is the power to create life in you. There is the power to give strength. There's the power to bring wisdom. God's word, nothing is impossible for God's word. Amen. God's word is something that can be stood on. God is something, word that can be fought with. God's word is something that you can stand in the face of horrible situations and bad reports and facts that don't look like they line up. But it's something you can stand on and watch God change your situation. It's something that you can stand on and build your life on. You can build your life on it. You can build your family on it. You can build your business on it. You can build anything on it because it's a sure foundation. And here was a time when Moses had died. And you know, I don't think this was revelation to Joshua. I think he knew he was next in line. But I can see Joshua there. I can see Joshua there, and the fact that the Lord even had to tell him this. I know Joshua had some doubts. I know Joshua was probably feeling the pressure. God, Moses ended up wandering in the wilderness 40 years because of these people. Now I'm going to have to lead them. You know, I'm sure he was feeling inadequate, or maybe he didn't know how he was going to lead them. But here in verse Joshua 3:7, it says, and the Lord said to Joshua, this day I will begin to exalt you in the sight of all Israel, that they may know that as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will be with you. And two chapters earlier in Joshua 1:5, he told him the same thing. Moses is gone, I'll be with you. But he said, I will not leave you and I will not forsake you. This is a common verse, but how often do we forget as Christians that God is right by our side, that the Holy Spirit has been sent to come alongside us, that the Holy Spirit has been sent to empower us, that the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in us. And we're just one word away from our victory a lot of times. The power to overcome is inside of us. Sometimes we just need that word of God to get us over the edge. We just need that word of God to build up our faith. We just need that word of God to give us encouragement and strength to make that step in faith. Well, you know the story of Joshua. After he heard God's word, he began to walk out his calling on the earth. He began to walk out his calling to lead the nation of Israel. And after that time, God told him, I'm taking you across the Jordan. You're going to conquer everywhere your foot treads. And right after that, he experienced miracles as he stepped out in faith. God parted the Red Sea for Joshua. They went through, and then God gave them one of the mightiest cities ever, the Battle of Jericho. God brought down the walls, and God gave him victory. And I don't think any of that would have ever happened if he hadn't have got along with God and heard God's word. But he heard God's word. And he didn't just hear it, but he received it with faith. And he began to move. And so I want to encourage you tonight, as we talk about these, the gifts, as we wrap up the gifts of the Spirit message. And I know, a lot of you here, I've got notes, flip book this way to continue. Anyway, I've got notes everywhere. Anyway, but I just feel like tonight the charge before you is to, just like Joshua, God's speaking the same thing to you. God wants you to know, just like he was with Moses, just like he was with Joshua, just like when he was with Paul, just like he was with Peter. You think of all the great men of the Bible, just like none of the great men of the Bible did anything outside of God's supernatural power. None of the men of the Bible did anything outside of God's strength and God's power, helping them, strengthening them, directing them. God wants you to know too tonight that just like he was with Moses, just like he was with those men, God is with you tonight. And God wants you to learn how to hear his voice. God wants you to learn how to hear him speak and know his voice. And so how do we hear God's voice? You can jot down these few things and then I'll get back and then we'll wrap this up. But hearing God's voice, and I praise God that we've had, Crystal here ministering on freedom. Man, we've had some awesome teaching on hearing God's voice and knowing God's voice. But just to remind you of a few things, and I know some of these things she mentioned in her teaching, but one of the things we've got to do to be able to hear God's voice is we've got to learn how to live in God's presence. We've got to learn how to cultivate God's presence in our life. Cultivate his presence in our life. And as we do that, we'll become more and more aware of how God speaks and when God speaks. And we'll begin to recognize the leading and the prompting of the Holy Spirit. We'll begin to recognize and hear God's voice. Now, how do you cultivate his presence in your life? You make it a priority to spend time with him. Make it a priority to spend time with him. I heard a message this week. I was listening to a podcast and he said that when you prepare and make an appointment to meet with God, God always shows up. When you prepare and plan to meet with God, God always shows up. And, he was talking about a guy that wanted to meet them and they were giving the church a large donation, millions of dollars. And he said, the guy said, well, can you meet me at such and such time at such and such bank to sign papers? And he said, you know, I can't meet you then. That's my time I meet with God. That's my devotion time with God. And so he didn't meet the guy. And he said he met the guy later, and the guy was just like, I was shocked that you didn't meet me this morning. He said, but I just, man, he said, just really spoke to the guy that his time with God was more important than millions of dollars. And we've got to put a high value on our time with God, because that is the very thing that will cultivate the presence of God and help us to hear God's voice. And without God's voice, we won't have the power and we won't have the direction we need for our life. The second thing is to focus on God's purpose, not yours. Remember that you're here to serve God, not yourself. I know some of you just went, oh my gosh, are you serious? You know, I know you didn't anyway, but yeah, it's not about us. It's about God. God put us here to serve him and to serve others. And the more we grow in our love for God and our love for others, the more that we will be able to sense the prompting and the leading of the Holy Spirit. Well, as we do that, as we grow in love, because God is love, and everything he does is all about love. Everything he's done for us is because he loves us. And the more we grow in that love, the more we're in the position to receive revelation from the Spirit of God. So focus on God's purposes, not your own. The fourth one is learn how to pay attention to what you're sensing or feeling, because sometimes the Holy Spirit impresses things on us in a way that we can miss if we're not paying attention to what the Holy Spirit is saying. Pay attention to the promptings of the Holy Spirit. It's not always a loud, booming voice. And in fact, usually it's not. You know, there's times when I would rather God just write on the wall, you know, like he did in the Bible, in that time in the Bible. But oftentimes he writes in our hearts and he puts impressions on our spirit and things like that. So pay attention to those things. And the last one, the fourth one, and this is the deep one. So get out your notes, get out your pencils and papers. You really need to write this down. It's really deep. You might even want to get a copy of this, hear this over and over again. But the last one is, ask God to speak. How do you hear God's voice? Many times you just need to ask him to speak. I don't know how many times I've been struggling over preparing something, a message, and I finally get to the point where I'm like, okay, God, you're just going to have to tell me what to say if you're going to want me to say something up front. You got to tell me what to say. And God says, all right, start writing, you know. It's like, why didn't you ask earlier? You know, I told you about the meeting I went to at work not too long ago, and it was just a disastrous meeting. It was a horrible meeting. And I was just like, God, why? 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 It's like I walked into a den of lions, you know. It was just a horrible thing. I was like, God, why did you let that happen? And God said, well, you didn't ask me. You didn't ask me to go to that meeting with you. Anyway, ask God to speak. Just ask him to speak. Amen? That's deep, right? Y'all got that one? Y'all want to hear the Hebrew word for ask? Ask. Anyway, so okay. Here we go. So the inspiration gifts are given. Wait, I've already done that. Oh, I missed the note that said flip. Flip. Man, only an accountant. Anyway, so the gifts of the Spirit, they're given so that we can know God and know his ways. They're given so we can know his power. The inspiration gifts are given so that we can know his voice, so that we can hear his voice and hear his word. The inspiration gifts, prophecy, tongues and interpretation, the revelation gifts are given so that we can know, and part of the reason they're given is so we can know that God sees us. How many of you know when you get a word of wisdom, God, somebody tells you a word of wisdom, and it's, man, it's something that just, God pinpoints your life, and a lot of times God's spoken a word of wisdom to me, and I'm like, man, hey, God really sees that. God wants us to know that he sees us, and that he knows us, and that he has a plan for us, and that he wants to lead us and order our steps. The steps of the righteous are ordered of the Lord. The revelation gifts come to that, and to give direction and to build our faith in those things. The power gifts are so that he can demonstrate his will. He shows us his power. He lets us see that he's an almighty God and that nothing is impossible for him. He's not bound by laws of nature. He's not bound by laws of physics. He's not bound by what we think or what our limits are. He's limitless. Nothing is impossible for God. And God wants us to begin to believe him for the big things, for impossible things. And it's through the gifts of the Spirit, it's through the gifts of the Spirit given to the church that he reveals himself to the church. And how many of you know that when we begin to know him, when we begin to know, really know him, to really understand his character, his heart, and we begin to know the power that God has made available to us, that we'll begin to walk life in a different level. We'll begin to walk our life in a supernatural level. We'll begin to see things, not just in the natural. We'll begin to see things supernaturally. We'll begin to see someone going through something and not be just immediately, oh, I feel sorry for them. But no, but we'll begin to be prompted by compassion, knowing that God has a plan for that person, knowing that God has a will for that person, knowing that God can cut off every assignment of the enemy against your life, against your family, against his church. He wants us to know the power and the authority and the level of victory that we can walk in. And the gifts of the Spirit reveal that about God. It reveals His heart, His character, and His ability to do great things. Amen? So praise God. That's going to wrap it up. We're wrapping up our gifts of the Spirit series. I tell you what, God wants you, above everything else, God wants you to be an active, vibrant part of your church. God wants you to be a part of a church that's living and moving and full of life. Amen? And the people that are going to make that happen aren't the pastors and aren't the leaders. You as a body have to choose that I'm going to move into what God has for me. That I'm going to be a part. That I'm going to step up. And I'm going to operate in the role that God's called me to operate in here in my body. This is your church. This is your church. You got to say, this is my church. And you got to help your church move. You got to help your church move. Your church is not going to move unless you're moving, because you are the church. Amen? Amen? Praise God. Let's pray. Everybody stand to your feet. Let's pray. Father God, I just thank you. Lord, I thank you, God, that you want us to be involved, God. You want us to be empowered, God. You want us. God, you depend on us. You give us the opportunity and the challenge, God, to carry your message to this world. And God, you've given us this wonderful body, this church, Father God. And I just pray, Lord, right now, God, that every person sitting in this room now, God, I pray that every person, God, would just have a fire in their heart, God, to be the church that you've called us to be. God, and not just to sit by and let others do the work, God, but you would motivate each and every one of us, God, to step up, God, and do the work that the church was called to do. Father God, to operate in the gifts that the church has been given, God, to edify, to build up, God, and to bless the church. Lord, I thank you, God, that you have a higher calling for our life than we could ever give or assign to ourselves, God. And I just declare tonight, God, that we're going to step into that calling, God, and we're going to be a church, God, that makes a difference in this city. God, we're going to be a church that's full of your love, that's full of your life, God, that when people come in here, God, they will encounter a Holy Spirit, God, that can change their life. Lord, I thank you tonight, God, for the gifts of the Spirit. And I thank you for this church, God. And you're changing and transforming this church into a church that operates and moves in the power of the Holy Spirit. And that we see miracles, God, and deliverances, God, and supernatural things on an everyday basis in Jesus' name. God, I thank you that you're making the supernatural life a life that's normal to us. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen.